It's a good day to be out in the Lord's house, and good to see each and every one, and good to see the sun shining this morning. That certainly is promising. Here it is, the first day of March already, and I don't know about anybody else, but I look forward to spring. I really enjoy it, and so I'm glad to be here today, and we want everybody to just make themselves at home, and any visitors that we have today, we're glad you're here. And we trust you'll just worship the Lord together with us. We have today sort of a special day. We're celebrating Pastor's wife appreciation. And we're going to have a meal after church this morning over in the fellowship hall. And we want to invite everybody to stay for that. There's always plenty. And it'll be a good time of fellowship and to be able to get together. So we're doing that today. That's a little bit different. And let me mention no service tonight, and let's keep in mind our revival schedule for the end of April, April 26th through May the 1st. If you haven't put that down in your calendar or written that down somewhere, let's be praying about that and thinking about that, and so wanted to mention that today. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew chapter number 8, and I really desire your prayers that the Lord would speak to our hearts and help us today. The book of Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament, and chapter number 8. And we're going to read a couple of verses over there, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So Matthew chapter number 8. I want to say happy birthday to all the people that had birthdays and anniversaries last week. I couldn't hear any of them because as soon as Brother Nathan said a birthday, Stephen started saying, me. So congratulations on being born the same week as Stephen was. That's a great honor. He says, why do you always pick on me? I don't really, but. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 14. The Bible said, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I am thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, it's already been good to be in your house. And I've enjoyed every part of it, from the opening up and the singing and the Sunday school, and it's just been a blessing to be here. I'm thankful for our choir. I'm thankful for each one that saw fit to come out to your house today, and I really pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give me the very words that I need to say today. I pray for that. I pray for good liberty, and I pray for a good continuance of the day. It's already been good. And I thank you for that. And Lord, we just come always asking that you'd save souls, that you would change lives, that you would use this church and those that are in it for your honor and for your glory. Please be with all of our many objects of prayer, those that are sick, those that are traveling, those that would love to be here but they're not able to. Lord, we pray for them. And we come today asking all these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back. We're going to read verse number 14 one more time. And the Bible said, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And what I'd like to try to do today with the Lord's help is to preach on a subject that actually only applies to a very small, unique group of people in any church. Doesn't matter which church you go to, you only find a very, very few that would fit into this category. In fact, most churches would only have one of these. Some churches may have a few more. If they have more ministries, maybe missionaries, a church that would have an assistant pastor or something like that, they'd have a few more of what I'm going to preach on today. I've never preached on this before. I've never heard it preached on. But I do believe it'll be a benefit and a help to everybody. You know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. So all the Bible is inspired of God, and all the Bible is profitable for us. But what I want to try to preach on today, like I said, I've never preached on it before, never heard it preached on before, but I want to try to preach today on the subject of the preacher's wife. The preacher's wife. We find that in verse number 14. And like I said already, today we are honoring, the month of March is Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month. And that was started back in, from what I could find out about it, 2015. So just a few years ago, and that's sort of opposite time of the year of Pastor Appreciation, that's in October. But somebody come up with the idea and they said, well, we need to honor the preacher's wife. We'll do that in March. And what I read about it said that it was started in 2015 and it had already sort of fell out of, you know, popularity. It didn't, hasn't really caught on. But we're going to do that today. And I appreciate those that have put it into, got the wheels rolling on that and suggested that we do that and everything like that. But five things I want to show you this morning from the Bible about the preacher's wife. Number one, in verse number 14, I want you to see her mate. Look what the Bible says, and this is talking about Peter, and I think everybody probably knows he was one of the disciples. In fact, I think he was the primary disciple, and the more I study the Bible, I think he was sort of the pastor of the rest of the disciples because Jesus came to him first. He always spoke to the rest, and Jesus always spoke to him first. He's unique among all the other disciples. But anyway, this is talking about here in verse number 14, just a very little bit, about his wife. Her mate was Peter, and Jesus was come into Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother, Peter's wife, the preacher's wife. Now, I started to call this message today the poor preacher's wife, sort of like that, the poor preacher's wife. You say, preacher, why would you even think about saying that? Well, I'll tell you a little bit. I'll share a few things this morning. When I was ordained many years ago, I'd have to think about it, how long ago, but when I Forest Grove called me to be the pastor over there, and I was a young preacher, and of course I was ordained at Mountaindale. And Preacher Carl was my pastor at the time, which he was your pastor at the time. And I remember on the night that I was ordained, Sister Mary Wilson, that's Preacher Carl's wife, and she came up to Kim. And you know what she said to her? She said these words of encouragement. She said, "You poor thing." That's what she said. And we've marveled at that down through the years that she said that, "You poor thing." She didn't say, congratulations. She didn't say, "I'm happy for you." She didn't say, "What a blessing." She said, "You poor thing." On the night that I was ordained, you say, why would she say something like that? I don't know, because she was your pastor's wife at the time. Now, I wasn't called here at the time. I was called to be the pastor over at Forest Grove. But she said, you poor thing. I've thought a lot about that, and Kim and I have talked a lot about it down through the years and laughed a lot about it down through the years. But if you think about it this morning, who would really want to be a preacher's wife? I don't think I would. In fact, I know I would not want to be a preacher's wife. Most preacher's wives didn't sign up for the job. Most of the time, what happens is, now it's not always the case, but most of the time you have a married man, you have a married woman, and God calls him to preach after the fact. See, she didn't sign up for the job. That's how it was in my life. That's how it was in Brother Tim, Sister Jenny's life. When they were married, he was not a preacher. When I was, Kim and I were married, I was not a preacher. What happens most of the time is that he is called to preach. That's how it was in Peter's life. And she gets told about it. Boy, some of you ladies, you say, I don't know if I'd like that or not. You probably would. He was called. That's how it's happened in our lives down through the years. Kim and I were married a few years. When we were married, I was not a preacher. I was not called to preach. That was the furthest thing from my mind. When we were married, she didn't marry a preacher. She married a young man that had just signed up and was going in the Air Force. And we spent a few years going down that road, and God called me to preach. And I remember trying to relate to her, share with her what was going on in my heart. And she just couldn't believe it. She couldn't comprehend it. She wouldn't take me serious when I would talk to her about what I felt like God was doing in my heart and in my life. It'd be hard. God called me to preach, and I told her, God called me to preach. Guess what? The result of that, you're going to be a preacher's wife. That's the way it is most of the time. And that's the way it's been all down through our lives together, and her being a preacher's wife. I remember when God began to speak to my heart about going to pastor the first church. You know, God called me to pastor over there, I know. And I told her, this is what God is leading us to do. I remember when God called us to the mission field. God called me to the mission field. And I remember going and telling Kim, I said, this is what I feel like God's calling us to do. She could have said, where's the us in all this? That's the way it is. God calls the man. God told the man what to do, and he comes along and sort of informs her what's going to be on. If there's a soul in the church that ought to be prayed for, or ought to be at the top of your prayer list this morning, it ought to be the preacher's wife. I'm going to show you this morning some things. But you think about what it would be like to be the preacher's wife. I mean, here the Bible says that this was Peter's wife's mother. We know that he was married. This is his wife. But think about being Peter's wife. Think about being any preacher's wife. Do you know the preacher's wife, above and beyond all others, her family is on display. People look at the preacher's wife. They look at the preacher's wife, how she dresses. They look at the preacher's wife, how her children act in church, what their children do, how their children act, all of those things. And most of the time, she has to take care of that, at least in church, by herself. We went somewhere, I think it was Sister Marilyn's mother's funeral, and we were talking about that. I sat out there in the congregation. I sat with Kim and Chloe, and we were talking about all down through the years, I've not sat with my children in church. She's had to. She's had to take care of them. People are watching the preacher's wife, watching the preacher's family and how they act and all of these things. Think about being a preacher's wife this morning. Just because you're the preacher's wife, she hears most everything that goes on in the church. She can't say anything about it. I've thought about down through the years, you know, if something goes on in church and you know, no church is perfect, and sometimes there's little rifts and little things that goes on. You know, if the preacher is attacked or the preacher's family, at least the preacher can stand up and defend himself, I guess, but not the preacher's wife. She just sort of has to depend on him. Think about being the preacher's wife. You think about down through the years, there have been those that have come along and sort of trying to influence me through her. You say, preacher, would that happen? Sure it does. Now, boy, that puts a preacher's wife in a terrible predicament. Because if there's anybody you can't do anything with, it's the preacher. And to come along to the preacher's wife. Somebody came to Kim a while back, and it wasn't in the church, but it has happened in the church down through the years. But I won't even say very much detail, but somebody was talking to her about me. Then she come and told me about it. And I said, Kim, I said, next time you just need to stop them. It's somebody in our family. I said, you just need to stop them. You need to say, just stop right there. If you want to say something to win, you just need to talk to Wynn, because I can't get Wynn to do anything. That's how it is. Poor preacher's wife. Now, it's not all gloom and doom, but I'll tell you, there's something to being the preacher's wife. There's an extra pressure in their life that other people do not have to contend with. So, number one this morning, there is her mate. Look also in verse number 14, there's something else. There is her mother. Look what the Bible said. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. Now, preacher's wives. That she was Peter's wife. He's the preacher. He's one of the disciples of the Lord. But you think about her, you think about other preachers' wives, among all their duties and among all their responsibilities, and there are very few written responsibilities and duties, but there's a lot of unwritten things that are expected of the preacher's wife. I mean, if they do it, you don't notice, but if they didn't do it, you sure would notice. So it's mostly unwritten things that we would think about this morning. But among all the things that the preacher's wife contends with, all the calls that she takes that the pastor doesn't take, all the cares, I mean, people come to the preacher's wife with things just like they come to the preacher, all the counseling that she might offer and talk to somebody, whether it's what you might say official or unofficial, among all of those things, guess what? They have family too. They have family too. Peter's wife had a mother. And her mother, according to this passage of Scripture, was very, very sick. And we're not talking about, well, of course she has her husband, of course she has her children, but she has her extended family as well. She has mother, father, she has all the people in her family, and we read about that here. But they have family also, and let me say this morning, their family is just as important to tend to as anybody else's family. They have to tend to their family, their mother, their father, things like that. And so it's very, very important. Now, think about my own wife, and we are honoring her today. And I say we need to honor Sister Jenny as well. And if Sister Sharon was here, or any other preacher's wife, or Sister Margaret was able to be here today, we ought to honor them. They got to take care of their family too. And let me say this morning, it's very important that they take care of their family. That is part of their ministry. What God has called them as a wife and a mother and a child, they have to take care of their family. Now, Kim's family's all just about gone. Her mother's passed away. Her father's passed away. 22 years ago today, her brother passed away. We were talking about that coming to church. But I'll tell you where her attention is this day and time. Some of you already know. It's that little grandbaby. Tomorrow we're going down and going to help a little bit. They need some help. Abigail and Jackson bought a house. We're going to go down and help them. You know what? As a man, and I think this might be pretty general, men don't think of things like women do. Is that a surprise to anybody? You know, if she wants to go see the grandbaby, I feel like I'm obligated to let her go see the grandbaby. I sort of like seeing the grandbaby too. But you know, that's important. Let me tell you something this morning, and I've taught in Bible Institute for many, many years, and I've taught the young men, the young preachers, the young pastors. I've told them, if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. You know, there's a lot in our country, there's a lot of preachers quit every week. There's a lot of pastors leave the ministry every week. A lot of times there is a thought, you know, you need to take care of everybody else's family. But if you neglect your own family and you lose your own family, guess what? You've lost your ministry. They have families too. Peter's wife had a mother and she was sick. And you know that weighed heavy on her heart. Let me show you something else. There's not only her mate, she's the preacher's wife. There's not only her mother, she's got family responsibilities as well. But look at verses 14 and 15. There is her miracle. Look what the Bible said. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I notice this about the preacher's wife. She needs the Lord's touch, same as the rest. Just like everybody else. Just like if that wasn't the preacher's wife and that was somebody else that needed the Lord to really help them, guess what? Preacher's wife really needs the Lord's help as well. She needed the touch. I noticed this as I studied this passage of Scripture. Just because she was the preacher's wife, Peter couldn't heal her mother. Peter didn't do that. It took the Lord. Peter knew all the other disciples. I mean, they all run together in a bunch, you know. Where you found one, you found the other. No doubt she knew all the disciples. Guess what? None of the disciples could do for her what needed to be done. It took the Lord. She needed the Lord's touch just the same as the rest. And I think sometimes in church, we forget about that. We might say, you know, and you go to any church. Every church has multiple problems. There's always somebody sick. There's always somebody that their family is in trouble and going through things. There's always, always multiple things going on in a church. And I think sometimes we get in our mind, we think, well, you know, she's got the preacher. Well, to her, that might not be a great blessing. She's got the preacher, and surely they're close to the Lord. They'll be all right. Guess what? They need the Lord's touch just like everybody else. They have the same needs. They have the same problems that are going on. But we think surely they'll be okay. Now, I want to say to the preacher's wives here today, and maybe other preacher's wives might hear the message one way or another, but I'd tell the preacher's wife, I would say to them today, the same Jesus that helps others, He's able to help you. I think sometimes in our serving the Lord, we feel like, boy, God's forgot about me. Well, He's not forgot about you. He can help you. He can do the same for you that He does for everybody else. And I get a blessing out of this. She was attended to by the Lord, just like everybody else the Lord came into contact with that needed help. I get a blessing out of that. She needed a miracle, and the Lord provided that for her. The same scriptures that you share and tell with other people and pastors and preachers' wives and Sunday school teachers and everybody else, you know. Sometimes people come to you, and you give out, and you tell them, you know, it's going to be all right, and you give them comfort from the scripture. Guess what? Same scripture you share, it applies to you. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be your God. I'll help you. Isn't that a blessing? It applies to everybody. Even the preacher and even the preacher's wife. There's her miracle. She needed the Lord just like everybody else. And number four, let me share this with you. There is her model. Who's the preacher's wife supposed to model her life after anyway? Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. It said, and he touched her hand, that was her mother, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That was her model. Her mother was her model. It said the same thing in Mark 1 and 31, the only other place this is mentioned. She arose, she ministered unto them. Now it doesn't say, but it is inferred that they were serving the disciples together. How'd you ladies feel if your husband brought home 12 preachers for lunch? You'd have a heart attack. Peter's wife, here he comes. He's got Jesus. He's got all the disciples with him. Man, what a crowd. And now your mom's sick and you got to take care of it all by yourself. Not to mention also being concerned about her. You'd need a miracle in your life as well. But I notice this, as soon as the Lord touched her, and she was immediately healed, and the Bible says she arose and ministered unto him. The only model we find in her life is her mother. Let me tell you, mother, something this morning. Being a mother is a serious responsibility. You don't know that you're raising a preacher's wife. You don't know that you're raising a preacher. And you know what? You know where they're going to learn how to do what God calls them to do? They're going to learn from you for the better or for the worse. It's an awesome responsibility, being a parent. Now, I think this is interesting. This is Peter's wife. And a few weeks ago, I preached out of this, 1 Peter chapter number 3. So let's go with Peter. I'm going to go over to 1 Peter chapter number 3, talking about her model. Who should she model her life after? So, we know this. Peter's got a wife. Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1. Many, many years later, Peter is an older man. He's an elder. He is a pastor. And he writes in 1 Peter chapter number 3 to the wives. And guess what? He gives the wives an example for them to model themselves after. 1 Peter chapter number 3, he's talking, ye wives, in verse number 1. And just for sake of time, I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. He said, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who should they model their lives after? The holy women that have gone before. That's a good model. Who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. So Peter, as an older man, an older preacher, he says, you wives would do well to model yourselves after Abraham and Sarah. You men after Abraham, you ladies after Sarah. That's a good model to model yourselves after. Now, he's a preacher. He's got a wife. And although this is applied to all wives, it surely applies to the preacher's wife. He cites Abraham and Sarah. Now, there's a lot of husband-wife duos in the Bible. Think about it. You can probably think of some that I didn't think of. I thought about Adam and Eve. Well, that's number one. Well, we want to model after them. Well, they sort of messed everything up. So, yes and no. I mean, they did pretty good, but they also messed everything up. There's a lot of them in the Bible. You think about it. All the husband and wives that could have been mentioned by Peter. There's Adam and Eve. There's Isaac and Rebecca. They had a good relationship together. There's Samson's parents, Mr. and Miss Manoah. I've preached on them before. There's Boaz and Ruth. There's Ahab and Jezebel. You say, preacher, surely not Ahab and Jezebel. Well, you got to give them this. They worked well together. They were wicked as the devil, but they was on the same page. You got to be on the same page. And I'm not saying follow their example, but they're a husband-wife duo in the Bible. There's King Ahasuerus and Queen Esther. There's Zacharias and Elizabeth. That's John the Baptist's parents. There's Joseph and Mary. There's Aquila and Priscilla. And they were a husband-wife team that ministered and helped in the early church. And there's many, many in the Bible we could mention, but it's hard to top Sarah and Abraham. One of the great things about Abraham and Sarah in the Bible is that they just work good together. They work good together. What about them? They trusted God together. They believed God together. They were on the same page. Do you know how hard it is in this day and time, or really any day and time, that finds the husband and the wife working together and laboring together and loving the Lord together and rejoicing together in the things of God? Well, Abraham and Sarah did that. They just worked together. They had on the same yoke. They were in the same field. They were headed in the same direction. You husbands and wives this morning, we need to learn to work together with our wives. I've thought a lot about this past week. God gave me a good wife, but God gave me a good partner. We're good partners. She takes up where I'm slack, and where I'm slack, let's work good together. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. If you want to model your marriage after somebody, you'd find it hard-pressed to find somebody better or greater as an example than Abraham and Sarah, because they worked so well together. They even messed up together. They done everything together. When they messed up, they done it together. That whole thing with Hagar and Ishmael, they done it together. It was both of them's fault. They rejoiced. They made Isaac together. All of those things. We've got to learn to work together. Now, by way of contrast in the Bible, you know there's some great men of God that their wife did not work well with them. You know who I think about? I think about Moses and Zipporah. You say, preacher, I didn't even know Moses had a wife. Yeah, because she wasn't too great. Moses did have a wife. Moses had children. But if you read Exodus chapter number 4, you read about the early days there, you know, she was constantly contradicting everything he tried to do.
And there's a time, it's very interesting, the Lord was going to kill Moses over that. Do you remember that? It had something to do with Moses going to circumcise his son, and she wasn't for it. And God was going to take Moses' life over that, and finally they circumcised his son, and it made her mad, and she threw the stuff down, and she said, "You are a bloody husband to me." Wouldn't that be a blessing? I'm trying to lead the children of Israel, and guess what? They've all got to be circumcised. Here you're giving me a hard time over my own son. She didn't like that. I can just hear, what kind of person are you that you'd want to do this to a little baby? And you know, I'm not going to get into that. Please don't send your children up to ask me what that is. You explain it to them. She was against him. Job's wife was against him. Life is hard enough as it is. Boy, what a blessing when you can partner up together. That's her model. Guess what? That's all of us, our model. I told you we'd all get something out of it. You want to model your wife, your life, your husband after somebody? Study about Abraham and Sarah. Boy, they knew how to work together and get in this thing. It is so important for all of us, husbands and wives, that we learn to work together for the same goals and ends to glorify the Lord. So important. So important, Peter said, you wives, you do well to take after Sarah. What a blessing she was. You do well to take after these holy women of old time. You do well to take them as your model. That's her model. That's what I find in the Bible. Now let me show you one last thing. There is, and I'm going to go a few different places, but I'm going to read back in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14. I want to show you her mystery. Now, I've been thinking about this for a week or two. Maybe a little longer, but not much. What does the Bible say about the preacher's wife? Look, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laden, sick of a fever. What's the Bible say about the preacher's wife? Not much. You ever notice that? Not much. It's really more about his mother-in-law than it is his wife. She was the one that was sick and the Lord touched her. We don't even know her name. You ever thought about that? The Bible says very little about the preacher's wife. Look in your Bibles. Now I want you to see these. I could read it, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to show you a few things about her mystery. This is a mystery to me. As I begin to think about the preacher's wife, and then it began to dawn on me, and I realized how very little the Bible says about the preacher's wife. Why doesn't the Bible say much about the preacher's wife? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 5, I want you to see a few things. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 5. The Bible said, and this is the Apostle Paul, he said, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife?" He's saying, could I not have a wife? Now, I believe Paul had a wife and she died. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that. But he's saying, you know, I have a right to have a wife as well as other apostles. Guess what? The other apostles had wives. You ever notice that? And as the brethren of the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph had children after Jesus? Jesus' brothers had wives. James, John, Jude. Or James and Jude. There's others. And Cephas, that's Peter. He's talking about Peter right there. That was his other name. Simon, Peter, Cephas. Paul is saying, I have a, could I not have a wife just like all the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Peter had a wife? And here's what I'm saying. They all had wives. Why don't the Bible say, why don't the Bible say something about preacher's wives? It doesn't say anything about the preacher's wives. That's a mystery to me. Look in your Bibles in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Well, preacher, surely when you get over there and it's talking about being a bishop and pastoring a church and the qualifications, over there is where you'll find about the preacher's wife. All right, let's look over there. That is a good place to look. Look what the Bible says or doesn't say about the preacher's wife. I really want you to see something this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is the qualifications of what we would say a pastor, a bishop. That's another name for a pastor. So, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, good behavior. Goes on down. What's it say about the preacher's wife? That's the only thing it says about her. To be a bishop, you got to be a man. And the man's wife has to be a woman. That's sad. You got to really explain things. But in our day and time, you got to point these things out. He's got to be a man. His wife needs to be a woman. That's all it says. It doesn't say anything like, you would think it would. Now the preacher's wife has got to be so and so and so and so. But it does not say that. Look down in verse number 11. By the time you get to verse number 11, it's talking about the deacons. Verse number 8 said, likewise must the deacons be. But in verse 11 it says, even so must their wives be. Grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Do you know there's more qualifications on the deacon's wife than it is the pastor's wife? You say, no, preacher, I don't agree with that. I'm just preaching to you what the Bible says. The Bible put nothing, no qualification, nothing on the preacher's wife as far as those kinds of things. But it does on the deacon's wives. Why? Well, the church calls the deacons, but God calls the preacher. I guess God knew what his wife was going to be like. Isn't that interesting? That's a mystery to me. I would think as important as the preacher's wife is that there'd be some qualifications, that there'd be some responsibilities given unto her. But no, you do not find that. Now, go over. There's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. There's the book of Titus. Titus, we have a lot of the same things that's said about the pastor or the bishop. Look what it says about his wife. Titus chapter number 1. And verse number 6, it's talking about the bishop here. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife. That's all it says. The husband of one wife. Having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. There's more qualifications on the pastor's children than there is his wife. His children need to be faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. You'd think in all the Bible there would be more said about the preacher's wife, but there is not. I got to thinking about who is the preacher's wife in the New Testament. The only one I can think of is here in Peter. Peter's wife. Paul never mentions any, just by very, very little. I believe he was married, but I believe she passed away, and none of the others mention their wife comes into the context of the scripture or anything like that. So I asked myself, why? Why is the preacher's wife not mentioned any more than we find in the Bible? And I believe the answer is this, that God never intended the preacher's wife to be a second office in the church. But many churches make it a second office in the church. You hear people come by and they're kidding. I hope they're kidding. They call Kim or other preachers Mrs. Preacher or Mrs. Pastor. God never intended it to be that way. Ever thought about that? God never intended her to have the position of a second office in the church, or that you have this thing in this day and time as the husband and wife being co-pastors. God never intended that. Never hints at that. In the Bible, what should the preacher's wife be this morning? Preacher? Well, she ought to be the preacher's wife. She's the preacher's wife. Any preacher that's worth anything is not looking for a wife to be an assistant pastor. Why would you want to do that to your wife? He's not looking for somebody, okay, now you're my wife, you're over the children's ministry, you're over the ladies this, and you're over this, and you're over that, and all of these things. Neither should the church look to the pastor's wife to be those things. The Bible does not put that on her. You say, preacher, what does the Bible put on the preacher's wife? She is under the same obligation as every other woman in the church. That's what she is. Now, that ought to take a lot of pressure off of being a preacher's wife if they could hear the message. What are they supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? That's what they're supposed to do. You don't find, I think that's interesting this morning, the mystery of the preacher's wife. God never, but I think God knew that it would be the hardest thing to do in the whole church would be the preacher's wife. And God didn't put any extra pressure on the preacher's wife. Because he knew it'd be hard enough just by the nature of what it was. She's under the same obligation as all the other women in the church. Her ministry, though, her contribution. Now, I'm not saying this morning that the preacher's wife should not have a ministry or not have a contribution in the church. I'm not saying there's things she shouldn't do in the church. Of course there is, as a member of the church. But we all know the preacher's wife many times does above and beyond. Let me say this about the preacher's wife. Anything she does above and beyond is out of one of two things. It's either out of obligation or love. Now, I told Kim, I was talking to her a little bit last night. I didn't tell her what I was preaching on, but we were talking about something in the church, and I said, if you do something out of just pure obligation, guess what? It's no good. Amen. It's no good. Say, I come to church this morning, I had to. Guess what? No good. No good. You get nothing out of it, you got no credit for it in heaven. It's no good. I've heard people, you know, they get up in the church, they say, oh, sister so-and-so, come on up here and sing for us. No, I don't want to. No, come on, come on. Come on, come on. No, I don't want to. Guess what? When they said no about the second time, I don't want to hear them anyway. You don't want to sing, I don't want to hear you sing. Does anybody else feel that way? Let me drag you up here to do something for the Lord. What a blessing. That's not a blessing. If you're doing what you're doing just out of pure obligation, I have to. That's no good. But if you do it because you love people and you love the Lord and you want to serve Him, now that's worth something. That's who I want to hear sing. That's who I want teaching the Sunday school classes. You love them little kids? Hey, God called you to do that, not me. I mean, I love them, but I don't want to spend 30 uninterrupted minutes with them. I'm not gifted that way. I'd be hollering for moms. But anything the pastor's wife does, guess what? She does it. Well, maybe out of obligation. That's sad. That's why a lot don't last. But does it out of love. And guess what? God didn't call her necessarily to do that. That's why I think out of all the people in the church, you know, the deacon's wife have obligations laid on them, but not on the preacher's wife. So I think when we think about people in the church, the unsung heroes in the church, that's somebody that's not obligated or told they have to do anything, but they do it anyway because they love the Lord and they love people. Now that's worth something. That's worth something. You say, preacher, how do you give an invitation on that just like this? Why are you doing what you're doing? Don't look around at the preacher's wife this morning. Kim said, is this going to make me feel bad because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? I said, oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't do that to her on purpose. I wouldn't do that to any preacher's wife on purpose. There's enough pressure as it is. But why do we do what we do? It ought to be because we love the Lord and we want to serve. We want to introduce others to our lovely Lord Jesus. And serving Him is not a you poor thing. It ought to be a privilege. It is a privilege. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. And I would say, we don't want to give Kim the big head or anything like that, but I really appreciate the preacher's wives that I know
I tell you, I know a lot of good ones. I thank the Lord for Sister Jenny's great blessing, the part she takes and things she does. Sister Sharon, many others out of this church, many that we don't know, thank the Lord for them. I tell you, it's a hard job sometimes, but they really need our prayers. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to your heart about why you're doing what you're doing. Is that an obligation? Is it because of how it looks? Or is it because you really love the Lord and you want to please Him? We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll stand and sing together. So I'll ask Brother Nathan to come and the ladies, and we'll prepare to sing in just a moment. But as we close and we think about that, why do we do what we do? Do we pray for those that do serve and do like we ought to and hold them up? So, Father.